That's okay. That's okay. So hello everybody, I'm Nima Shakri. I'm from University of Manchester. Today I'm going to talk about the drawing of saline porous media with the associated salt precipitation patterns. Okay, I think I made a mess. How can I go back? Oh yeah. And then up and down, this one. Gotcha. Okay, so fortunately I'm in a soil science meeting. I don't know to discuss about like issues like soil salinity, soil salinization, salt affected land. They are important to understand. But I just wanted to say that this is a topic, drawing of saline porous media. It's a topic that is as well important in other disciplines, let's say porous building materials or CO2 sequestration or preservation of building and monuments. And in all these topics, basically drawing of saline porous media plays a key role. The keyboard's different than mine. Yet, despite of its importance, the prediction remains challenged simply because of the complex phenomena occurring during drying of saline porous media and also the salt precipitation. For example, as water evaporates from your porous material, the salt concentration changes dynamically. Therefore, the surface tension changes, the density changes, the vapor pressure continuously is changing. And that makes to the complexity of the problem, together with when precipitation occurs, that is when the salt concentration exceeds a certain limit, salt precipitate. And then when precipitation occurs, look at, for example, the picture at the top over there. There is a grain saturated with salty water, and the picture in the middle is the same snapshot, but after the precipitation, after the drying. So salt precipitates, and the whole porous structure basically is modified, and of course when porous structure is modified, permeability is modified, and the whole story is basically upside down. So it is also provided another example down there, that this is like the drawing of a clay type material with different concentrations. The number at top, 3%, 9%, indicates the concentration of salt, and you see having different concentration basically significantly affects the strength of the material, the cracking of the material. So the question is how parameters like, let's say, type of salt, the salt concentration, the permeability of the porous media, and the wettability, atmospheric condition, etc., etc., affect the drawing of saline porous media together with the salt precipitation dynamic. So the objective of my talk today is to describe a little bit about how precipitation occurs in a drying porous media. Okay, and also I will show you some of the results we have on the effects of the grain and pore size of porous media on salt precipitation, as well as I talk a little bit about how angularities of the grains, how angularities of the pores modifies the precipitation patterns. So during drying of porous media, during a stage one of evaporation, that is when there is a liquid continuity between the evaporation surface and the saturated zone at the bottom. Okay, during this period, water flows through the porous structure, comes to the surface, evaporation occurs there. During that time, in the presence of dissolved salt, solute basically is transported via this capillary flow, via advection toward the surface, while at the same time, the diffusion wanted to kind of distribute the salt homogeneously over space. So there's a kind of a competition between advection and diffusion, which can be quantified by Peclet number, etc. But the point is, during drying, that the picture in the middle actually shows you a kind of a cross section, the surface of the granular sand grains basically under evaporation, and you see the large pores basically are preferentially invaded by air, while the smaller pores remains kind of saturated, and those an evaporation occurs and at those small pores. Today I will show you how such a phenomenon how significantly it affects actually the dynamics of precipitation. To do so, basically, we employed X-ray tomography to look into the dynamics of salt precipitation in porous media in 3D. The idea is relatively simple. That is, so you have a column, you get a column, pack it with your grain, saturate it with salt solution, let it to dry, and like let's say every 30 minutes, every 1 hour, you image the phase distribution in this pack. And normally the experiment continues for, I don't know, 20, 30 hours. And yes, there will be a student every 30 minutes take the image and so here the picture bottom left this is at the very top of the column. The brown here is the sand grains and the blue is the salty water at time equal to zero. After a while, let's say after, I don't know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, you get to the image in the middle that is white is air and the rest is solid phase. Obviously, the volume of the sand doesn't change. Therefore, if I subtract the solid phase from A to B, I end up to image C, that is the brown is the sand grains, and any extra solid phase is your precipitated salt. So this is the procedure I can calculate. I can look into the precipitation at Torres scale, basically. And so here at the bottom, you see a kind of a vertical cross-section, a close-up of the surface, basically, and the brown color here is the grains, and the white color is the air. Anything else you see, the spectrum from orange to kind of yellowish color is actually the precipitated salt, and the color here indicates the, let's call it maybe the age of the salt, or in other words, the closer to the yellow you are, the later we make the scan. So in that way, I can basically look into the how salt is growing at pore scale over time. And so now this is the technique I use to address the objectives of the talk. The first one was how the particle size affects the dynamics of the precipitation. To do so, I have six different type of sand, quartz sand in different particle sizes. The first one shows the average particle size is roughly 200 micron. You go down to like 2 millimeter, like one order of magnitude the larger particles. So in all cases, we pack our column with sand grains, saturated with salty water, let it to dry, and then we look into the dynamics of the precipitation. Okay? And this picture basically shows you so using by image analysis, basically we can calculate the volume of the evaporated water, and then I can calculate the evaporation rate basically, or the cumulative mass loss basically. And the picture at the bottom there over shows you the cumulative mass loss versus time for different type of sand. The legend there indicates the average particle size. And you see in all cases we are still in the stage one evaporation because the evaporation rate is more or less constant and relatively high here. And here we are so we can look into the precipitation patterns. That is, so let's first look into the picture at the left, at the right side. After 3.5 hours, this is basically the picture of the surface of my column at different times. 3.5 hours, 7.5 hours, 10 hours, and 15 hours, as indicated on the image. The first image, the gray color is sand grains. The white color is the air. The black color is the liquid. Any other color you see is salt. Okay, any other color you see in that image is salt. But the color indicates the thickness of my salt. So the closer to kind of reddish color or orangish color, the thicker is the salt. So we can learn a lot from this picture. Basically, you're looking at a 3D image. Huh? The color indicates the thickness of my crust. So you can learn a lot from this image. That is, first of all, you see how heterogeneous is the distribution of the salt, the precipitated salt. It's not like you get a uniform deposition across the entire surface. And also, you see, for example, after that 3.5 hours, the majority of the pores at the surface are already invaded by air. So they're empty. They don't participate in precipitation process. And the precipitation basically occurs at the very small pores at the grain contact, where liquid remains saturated, and evaporation preferentially occurs at those, let's call it preferential evaporation site. And over time, those basically salt grows, and you will have the precipitation. On the left side, here you see precipitated salt versus time. So we can calculate the volume of the precipitated salt versus time, and the legend here indicates the particle size again. And interestingly, you see that the precipitation rate initially it kind of increases rather fast, rather quickly, and after a while it kind of arrives to a plateau. And here pay attention that the evaporation rate is constant. Look at the previous picture, the derivative of this line are constant. The evaporation rate is constant, but precipitation rate is not constant. It increases and then arrives to a kind of a much lower rate, and that is because the number of the precipitation site at the surface, it increases over time. So at the time equal to 3.5 hours, you see a couple of spots there, and after 7.5 hours, some other evaporation sites join to be precipitation sites. So because the salt concentration exceeds the solubility limit one after the other in these pores, and therefore the number of precipitation sites are increasing, therefore precipitation rate is increasing, but after a while, when all evaporation sites are now acting as precipitation sites, then the precipitation rate remains constant. Here, this is basically one of the core slides I wanted to show you today. At the bottom left, you see the surface of the sand when the particle size is 200 micron, the other one 2 millimeter, and the color basically shows you the crust, the salt crust. And you see here we get, I call it patchy versus crusty precipitation, that when you are dealing with a fine textured material, your surface is kind of crusty. That is, the whole surface is covered by salt, but when you're dealing with a coarser textured material, your precipitation patterns is fundamentally different. That you're dealing with a patchy precipitation. And interestingly, the crust formed in the case of coarser material is thicker. So the crust is thicker, but more discrete. And the reason it is thicker is that, for example, look at the curve at the bottom right. Each color there corresponds to a certain mass loss. So let's just focus on blue, for example. At blue points, basically, in all cases, I have 0.04 gram of evaporation loss. So evaporation loss is the same in all columns. 200 micron, 500 micron, 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter. Evaporation, amount of the evaporated water is the same. But you see, as particle size increases, you get thicker and thicker crust. And the reason for that is let's consider the fine material. When the salt comes to the surface, the solute comes to the surface, you have many more evaporation sites at the surface. Therefore, salt, the solute transported to the surface, they are distributed over many pores. While when you're dealing with a coarse textured material, let's say you have, 5 evaporation sites. So when the solute comes to the surface, the solute goes through that 5 spots. And this is why those spots reach to the solubility limit earlier, precipitation occurs earlier, and then you end up with a larger crust. Okay, that's the way it works. We didn't test it, but I believe as well this affects the stability of this crust as well. For imagine if there is wind, for example, in the case of coarse material, you can. I assume it should be easier than to just remove this salt and distribute through the entire land you're dealing with. While then you are dealing with a finer structured material, since that is thinner, perhaps you get a more stable salt. But this is just my speculation. So this X-ray image basically this X-ray image basically provided us with a lot of information regarding the physics, regarding the mechanisms basically controlling this precipitation. So it was not that difficult to come up with a kind of a analytical equation. I think analytical is too much to call it, to quantify the thickness of the crust as a function of the particle size and the density and porosity and everything. I don't go through this equation, the detail of this equation, but it's simply conclusion from conservation of mass. And omega here is the thickness of the crust. The picture at the bottom there shows you the calculated crust thickness versus the observed crust thickness. And the solid line shows you is the one line. It's not that good, but it's not that bad neither. So it's a very simple mathematical manipulation, and so we kind of get the precipitation solved. There is, I have only probably 1 minute left, right? Is that correct? So I can just, I can show you 2 more slides maybe. So it's a basically same school of thought here. We wanted to look how the angularities of the pores modify the precipitation patterns. To do that, we use two type of material, glass bead versus the sandy particle. These two material had exactly the same average particle size. Porosity was more or less the same, as you can see, bottom right. And particle size distribution was almost the same. Not exactly the same, almost the same. And so average particle size is the same. Particle size distribution, okay, quite okay. They are more or less the same. Porosity is the same. So the only difference was the shape of the particle. Sand is irregularly shaped particles, and glass bead is spherical particles. Okay? And this is my last slide, I promise. You see such a, again, tiny, tiny difference, you get a different precipitation patterns. For example, at top, you see the precipitation at the surface of sand, but at the bottom, you see the precipitation at the surface of the glass bead. Everything is the same. As I said, just the angularities of the pores are different. And you see again, you get a more patchy precipitation in the case of glass bead, because you have more larger pores at the surface compared to the sand. And look at, for example, the amount of the salt versus mass loss on that curve. You see, at the same mass loss, so in both cases you have same mass loss, let's say, 0.2 gram. This, at the same mass loss, you have more precipitation in the case of glass bead. Again, the same reason, because you have less number of pores, evaporating pores, at the surface of glass bead, therefore salt comes to the surface and contribute to the precipitation earlier and more compared to the sand, because you have much more smaller pores as a result of the angularities. Okay? I skip this one, conclusion. I think I already basically described what was it about. I would like to thank Masroor Nowruzi Rad, who actually finished a PhD a few months ago, who actually did all this X-ray analysis, experiments, etc. I was just the advisor, so the work basically belonged to her. And this project was funded by Petroleum Research Fund and in the United States and the Liberum Trust in the United Kingdom. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much.